Okay, there we go. Well, we'd like to welcome everybody tonight to the Daniel Town Council meeting, Monday, March 3rd, 2025, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Services Building, Conference Room B, 55 South 500 East, Heber City, Utah. Want to welcome all of you here tonight. Appreciate you being here. And so we'll go right to agenda item number one, which is public comment. And if you'll, when you're giving your public comment, if you'll just come up to the podium and state your name, and then we'll turn some time over to you. So.
Is everybody else?
All right.
You're on deck. Enough.
All right. Well, my name is David Hallett. I live down on south end of Heber, roughly just north of 1300 South and 300 East. Came here honestly as a recommendation of Mayor Franco. Put me in contact with Mayor Fuller. Recommended I come talk to you guys really briefly tonight. I am purely a concerned resident who's concerned about the possible routing of the new bypass. If you've been following that and looking at their drawings, chances are really good that they're going to route the bypass onto 1300 South and run it up on the north side of the affluence fields. My neighborhood, I did my due diligence before I bought. That was supposed to be a minor arterial route. My neighborhood is right on that path. So we would be pretty badly impacted by it, to say the least. I've done quite a lot of research, a lot of digging, watched a lot of videos online, meetings, talked to different people, you name it, to try and understand what's going on. I think at this point I have a pretty good idea. The reason I'm here today is obviously my neighborhood, and I've kind of fallen into representing my neighborhood. We would like it very much if UDOT were to be a little bit flexible in their plans and move the bypass just a hair further south and stay more in line with the current roadbed of 189. In speaking with Mayor Franco about it, she's supportive of that idea, but she's thought that there might possibly be some ways that would also be beneficial for you guys. I know that you guys have a concern with diesel trucks driving through your area and that kind of stuff. And so as I think about that, obviously, if the bypass is made limited access, which is one of the options that's currently on the table, that would definitely push local diesel trucks into your guys' neighborhoods. And then it would also possibly cause people to try and kind of cross off of 189 if they're heading back down 40. And so our hope, or my hope, is that if there is a way that we can actually find a way to sort of help each other on this one, but a little more influence on UDOT in terms of making sure that the bypass routing on the south end is more easier for trucks to move through, that would be a benefit, I think, for you guys, hopefully, and then obviously for me, being able to move that bypass a little bit further south would actually reduce a lot of the impacts on some of the neighborhoods and the businesses in the area, as well as maintaining some better flow there. So just purely came in with the hope that if you guys feel that there would be benefit in continuing that conversation, we could keep this conversation going and see if there's a way that we could try and help support each other and bring a little bit of influence into UDOT to get them to move the south end. I know the north end's got a lot of press. Well, the impacts of the south end are quite real and hasn't gotten nearly as much press.
Is what you're proposing even on one of their five?
At the moment, no. So in talking with UDOT about their current flow process, they are looking at macro scale at the moment, trying to get the big picture of flow. And then from there, they're going to start looking at impacts and adjustments that need to be made in terms of impacts and adjustments to work on those. Truthfully, as you look at it, trying to run it on 1300 South, there's a lot of impacts. It's going to cut off access to Walmart and all that area. It's going to cut off access to neighborhoods, all those new commercial buildings that they just put in. That's going to cause a lot of problems. So I do actually think there might be some benefit for them in making that adjustment. So in terms of where we are in process, We're definitely not too late in the process because I know they're going to come into looking at those impacts pretty soon here. But as of right now, no.
If that's a reasonable alternative, I'm just curious as to why it didn't end up on one of the five preferred alternatives. Is there a fatal flaw of some sort that you're not seeing?
Not that I'm aware of. I know that there's a lot of concern about the effluence fields there, and that if UDOT takes up a certain amount of space within the effluence field, they need to be able to give that back. It has to be a one-to-one on that one. And so I just, to be absolutely honest with you, what UDOT's told me is that they have 1300 South, that they already have that road to a certain point, and then they'll have to, once they get past industrial, have to start building that road from scratch. In talking with one of the UDOT engineers, the road base on 1300 South currently is not rated for the type of traffic that they would be putting on it, so they would actually have to completely remove that roadbed and basically start from scratch and rebuild the roadbed up. So there's not really any advantage other than that's property that they already control.
Is what you're proposing then, would it take a portion of the Special Service District farm?
Yeah, that's the...
And you're aware that currently they do not have enough land to dissipate the effluent that they're currently receiving?
Yeah, and so my suggestion would be to completely remove the 189 roadbed, which is actually, I think, currently in UDOT's thinking. And by removing that roadbed and then moving the fields into that area, that would free up some space up on the north side of it. It would actually probably, I hope, yield a net gain for the fields. That would be the hope. Obviously, it has to be studied. I'm not a civil engineer, so I can't speak to it with any authority, nor can I speak for what UDOT has and has not considered.
Okay. Any other comments from up here?
It's been studied and studied and hashed over for many years.
I know.
So.
I realize I'm walking into a situation with quite a lot of history.
Well, and years ago, well, we can go back almost 20 years ago. Part of the deal was who's going to maintain the current 40 through Heber City, mm-hmm. and that reverts to Heber City. Let alone what it affects. I mean, there's been people trying to buy property and speculation and all kinds of things. So I feel for what you're saying. But it's been hatched over a long time ago.
Yeah. I do think there are some easement issues that they're going to run into if they try and run 1300 South. They've just built up all that commercial property right on either side of it. So there's definitely going to be some challenges there if they want to do that. Like I said, my main thing here is I've got one horse in the race. I don't want that. You know, I'm trying to protect my home. I thought I had done my due diligence before I bought it. I thought I was doing everything right, and then kind of got slammed with it. The concern I would think that would be an issue for you guys and is that if they do go with the high flow where it's limited access, I do think that's going to probably push some trucks down into you guys' neighborhood. It's local trucks aren't going to have the ability or the desire to access.
It's just traffic. Right now, if you go on Google, it shows coming down 3000 South is the fastest way to get to the UN Basin.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, David, appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right back at you. Appreciate you guys.
You have my cell phone number.
Okay.
So if you want to reach out to me in the future, go ahead.
Okay.
And we'll see if our directions meet up and go from there. So.
Yeah. Let me know if there's.
UDOT is planning to come to our meeting, I think, next month.
Yep.
So, if you wanted to come, you will.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. We'll do that. All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to agenda item number two. Agenda item number two is possible action for the conditional use application from Geneva Rock for parcel number 09-6276. That was continued last month. They were asked to get us some information. They have not given us that information yet, all of it. And so basically, I'm looking for a motion to continue this again until next month. So I'll call for a motion.
Make the motion that we continue the possible action for Geneva Rock's conditional use permit.
I'll second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
Give me just a second. Okay, thank you. Let's go to agenda item number three. Deputy clerk recorder interview and possible appointment. And we did have Megan Goodrich, who turned a letter of interest in. I've asked Megan to be here tonight for this. And Megan, if you'll just come up here to the podium and introduce yourself to us and tell us whatever you want to tell us. And then I'm sure there'll possibly be a few questions. So.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you a bunch of stuff about
that. Oh, no. That's
fair. Well, we don't want you to tell us.
I'm Megan Goodrich. I live on Crazy Acres Road. We've been there about 10 years. My husband runs the America First Credit Union in town. I have four kids, so I try to keep my house running as organized as possible. I'm busy going every which way. I have a degree from Utah State University. I have some experience doing some bookkeeping. What else do you want me to tell you?
Just whatever you want to tell us, Megan. I appreciate what you've said.
What was your degree in?
Well, my degree was in family and human development.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so oh, not completely yeah. related. But I was a teller at a credit union and a loan officer as well. So.
That's great.
Okay. Any other questions that anybody has for Megan? I appreciate you being here tonight and putting sure. your letter of interest in.
Yeah.
Anything else? Eric? Gary?
Not right now.
Okay. Megan, thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you for being here. You can go whenever you need to go.
Sneak out.
Okay. Appreciate you being here this evening.
Time.
Yep. Thank you. So along with that, is the possible appointment of basically hiring her. So I'll call for
her. Was she the only applicant?
She was the only applicant today.
And the best one.
So,
fix the wording there.
I'll make a motion that we extend the invitation to hire.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Easy
peasy. Megan, thank you.
Was it easiest interview I've ever done?
You haven't seen what's coming next.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I should be scared. I knew that.
Probably better that you're not staying.
Okay, and we'll just.
Yeah, you have my number.
I do.
Be in touch.
I will. Thank you. Let's go to agenda item number four. And agenda item number four is Board of Appeals interview and possible appointment appointments of the Board of Appeals, and I've got to apologize because we have had Stephanie Grady, who has turned in an application, a letter of interest, and I just have not been able to get a hold of her. It's my own fault, and so I will apologize to her. But I want to go ahead with that process also. We all know Stephanie. She has served on the town council for a number of years. She's an active member of the community and has a lot of good ideas. And so I wish I would have got a hold of her because she would have probably told us a lot more than I did about her. But anyway.
I move to approve Stephanie Grady to the Board of Appeals.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Agenda item number 5, discussing the engagement or engaging a consultant for the town of Daniel. And I'm gonna introduce this concept, and then I'm gonna turn a little bit of time over to Eric to address this. But 2 weeks ago, approximately, we met with Ryan Taylor, who you know, Ryan worked for Adura and owned Adura and retired from Adura, and then Adura got a hold of us and said they were no longer taking care of small towns. And so Ryan had been having a few health issues, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that, but it was kind of a mutual thing. He reached out to us, we reached out to him, and the idea behind this is Ryan has gone into business for himself, and he's not looking for a full-time job. He's not looking for, a 40-hour week from one town or anything like that. But we met with him a couple weeks ago. When I say we, Eric Bunker and myself and Kim was there also. And we just basically had a conversation with Ryan and what he was interested in doing and what how he could benefit the town, and which I really think that Ryan is a great resource for the town of Daniel. He was not interested in permitting or doing building permits or anything like that. He was more interested in his specialty, which is roads and water. And so basically we talked with him for 45 minutes to an hour, I think. And so we told him that we would present this to the town council. And I'm going to turn a little bit of time over to Eric and let Eric say whatever I haven't said or reiterate what I've said. And then obviously there's no contract in place. This was just merely a conversation with Ryan. Moving forward, I'm sure he would expect to see us sign a contract with him or whatever. But tonight, I just basically wanted to have a discussion about that, and so I'll turn some time over to you, Eric.
Okay. So we've hired Jones and DeMille to do our engineering, and it's been fairly expensive to bring them up to speed. And so when this came up, I thought that that'd be a way that it could save the town some money, because he's already up to speed. He did our water modeling and done those studies that we're still using. Jones and DeMille wants to redo those studies, and so we're at the point where if we were to get hire on Ryan as a consultant, and I assume that will be an hourly fee as a consultant, that he'll be able to put together those modelings as we work through these applications that we have right now before us for Geneva, and because he'll be right up to speed, he can come right on board. He will be working with Jones and DeMille and also with Aqua Engineering. So those are the resources he has to do what his specialty would be. There's some areas in the town. He designed our SCADA system. I mean, the pump station, that was all under through it. Sure was writing it down with that. So I think it's a cost saving thing, but we just wanted to float that idea out there and see what you guys thought.
Well, that was going to be my question. Will it cost the town more money or less money? And it sounds like it may cost less money and have somebody that knows what's going on already. So in theory, it makes a lot of sense. Our contract with Jones and DeMille doesn't exclude having someone else like him involved, does it?
It does not.
Okay.
I like the concept. I'm not opposed to Ryan. I think it can save us some money. I guess I'm just a little opposed to the process. I really believe it's something, if we're hiring for professional services, which these would be, because Ryan's a licensed engineer, I really believe we need to advertise. I think we need to, I mean, obviously, there's no question he would probably be overqualified, if you will. But I just think this is something that we just need to do on a regular basis if we're securing services for the town. I just don't want us to be second-guessed by somebody else who may have wanted to apply or who may have wanted to throw their hat out there, but we never put that opportunity out. So, and I don't see anything wrong with us putting this in the paper, maybe with a little bit of a job description as to what his roles and responsibilities would be, so we can kind of keep it inside of a box. So we don't have somebody that maybe a full service engineering firm that wants to come in and provide the same service. That's just my two cents worth.
So is there anything by law that says we can't hire consultants at our discretion? Is there anything that says that we have to do that, that we can't do that? I don't think there.
In state law, if you enter into a contract of a certain amount, you are required by statute to advertise, so that it doesn't look like somehow we've just made an online appointment without basically opening it up. And I just, like I say, will it cost us a month of time? It may do. We may end up with the exact same result. But at least we can then say we advertised, we hired the best candidate for the job. And it's like purchasing legal services or any other professional services that you might want to go out and get. Just go to Utah Code Annotate and just look up professional services in the code. And I think you'll see that it encourages us to do that, to be open and forthright about it.
Well, I get what you're saying. We're not trying to hide anything either, by any means.
That's what I'm saying. I like the concept. I like Ryan. Certainly has got a wealth of knowledge about our systems and our, all of that. That goes without saying.
I don't see anybody. I mean, if law says we have to advertise for the position, then I got no problem with that, But if law doesn't say that, I see where it doesn't benefit us as a town to bring people in and interview them when we know that there's, because of the situation that we lost Ryan because of health issue and he had to step down. A couple things was going on, and now that he's able to take on some responsibility now and come back to work, I don't see the necessity, unless it's mandated by law, that we advertise for anybody, because there's nobody out there that knows what he knows and can do what he can do for the town. I'm interested in in what the, you know, what a contract would look like, and, you know, dollars and cents wise and stuff like that. But I'm not totally opposed to advertising, but yet I'm not sure that it does us any good in the short term or long term.
Well, I will check into this. If we need to advertise this in the paper, we'll do that. I'll check into that. I'll read the code, and then we'll make a decision on that. If it's best for the town to advertise that, we'll put it in the paper for a couple weeks, and
it won't hurt at all to put it in there.
No.
If
no.
there's any question at all, put it in there.
Correct.
Cross that off your list.
Yeah. Right. So I appreciate the Robin. I appreciate that, and we'll look into that and probably get it in the paper here in this next week, or read the code and see what it says. So.
But it sounds like you're all.
We're okay with looking.
Good idea. I just think we need to. This needs to be a. It's just like we hired a deputy recorder, okay, and we advertised that. We could have easily gone out and just appointed somebody. It's very simple.
Yep.
And we could have appointed somebody like Mary, because she's just got a wealth of knowledge. But we didn't do that. We advertised. We received applications.
Yeah. I think what I'm asking is not that. I'm asking the concept. That's what
right.
I'm asking.
I approve the concept.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking the whole council. Is that something we should pursue?
Yep.
And it sounds like that. Okay, we'll move that direction.
And we really don't need a vote on that, because that's basically just a discussion on that, and we'll review that and look into that and make sure that we cross our T's and dot our I's and go from there.
Has Ryan officially retired?
He's not. He worked for Aqua.
Okay.
And then he went and got his licensing all done for him. I think that, I can't say what he'll be doing in the future, but he's going slow, and Aqua's working with him through that. He will, if this was the case, whoever they decide to hire, if the town decides to hire somebody, they'll be working with Jones and DeMille and working. I mean, all those things intertwine, so.
Just on a personal note, how's his health? Is he feeling better?
His last surgery did wonders.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments or anything on agenda item number 5? Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 6, which agenda item number 6 is resolution 2025.3.3A. Adoption of APWA standards. And before I read this resolution and that, I would like Eric to explain a little bit about this and why we need to adopt this.
So our engineering firm wanted us to adopt this. It's the American Public Works Association is what that standard is. And so all the municipalities have done that. And what we'd like to do is adopt the latest and greatest, because the amendment is in doing planning right now. So 2017 is up right now, and they're doing the amendments from the legislature and all the other areas that they need to update the code in this standard. But this is the standard that they're using all across the board in municipalities.
So do they think the legislature will adopt the recommended changes?
They don't do that. What they do is they take what the legislature does and puts it into that code so that it encompasses the new laws.
They really don't know what the changes are going to be.
Right. They're still going.
Yeah. Last week. Another week.
But until the governor signs it, or he doesn't, and it goes to law. So they're. I'm sure that's what they're waiting for, to move that into that 25 standard. And then they only do that every 5 years, so what ways away. But this is the standard. We have some applications before us that are looking in some of our public work stuff, and he would like to apply that standard. We don't have a standard that we've adopted, and this is the standard he would like us to adopt as a town.
And this document is about 50 pages, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's about 250 pages.
Correct. I was 200 pages short.
Just a small technicality.
And it depends on what you have. You have the table of contents there, Scott.
Right here in front of me.
Yeah, and that has all. I didn't print every section, just the table of contents.
Right. But the only reason I bring that up is because if you guys want to go read all 250 pages,
yeah,
go type that in and you can have some magnificent reading. I've read, the reason I said 50 is because I've read about the first 50 pages. Apparently, I got to go look at the computer a little harder and read the other 200. Yeah. But this really, I mean, Jones and DeMille has asked us to adopt this. So do you guys have any questions about that? Okay.
Can I ask a question?
You can.
Does this overextend our town? I mean, for instance, would it require us to do curb and gutter? We have to do things that we really have not done in the past, or?
It would not, because our minor collector spells out that we don't have curb and gutter in our road standards. So this is the standard, but our town standards still are in place.
And they would supersede this standard?
They would. So the legislature, you're going to have what the law requires, and then we can be more restrictive, but we can't be less restrictive.
Gotcha.
And so our standards would still stay. But this is the standard, like for laying pipe, the bedding material, the depth, all of those standards would be in there. And Ryan just plugged those in. We never really adopted a standard, so that's why they would ask that we adopt a standard.
So what are the disadvantages of adopting it?
There's really none. If you don't like it, you can unadopt it.
Okay.
So just from looking at the table of contents here, it covers a real, really broad range of.
Yeah, it's all inclusive.
Pretty, yes. And I don't know if you want to just see the table of contents.
Yeah.
It's mostly construction related, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. It doesn't stipulate what the community has to have. But if you're bedding pipe, or if you're building a road, or, you know, it just recommends some overall acceptable construction standards that engineers and others can adhere to, contractors, etc.
Yeah, it just gives them that thing to point to. This is what the standard is.
Exactly.
And we don't have a lot of that going on, but we do have some of it going on. So.
Yeah, pretty comprehensive from what I can see.
Yes. Yeah, if you start reading all the pages, it gets right down to the nitty-gritty.
Right.
But this gives them something that, so they're not, I mean, they're trying to go through the code and look at stuff, and they know this will be the standard that everything our code is on top of. You remember, it wasn't too long ago, we had the irrigation company running in the right-of-way, and so those were the standards that we made them follow as they ran into the town right away. This is clarifying.
There's going to be some more of that coming up, it sounds like. So.
Yep. Real estate's getting worth more and more. Should you decide to adopt it, just that's the language you want us to use, the latest standard.
Yep.
And then that way there, we don't have to keep.
Isn't it similar to the Uniform Building Code, that as the state of Utah adopts certain phases of the Uniform Building Code, then
we had the Uniform Building Code, and now it's all International Building Code.
Okay, so international.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same, yep. But it's the same kind of process.
Same thing. Yep.
If we adopt this, and then for some reason we want to do something different on some project, whether it's a road or something else, do we have to unadopt the whole thing, or does somebody sue us, or what happens?
No, you can change any standard in there.
At any time?
As long as it's meeting what the state law requires, you can change that standard. If you want it more restrictive, you absolutely can change that. The way that is right now is you'd adopt that, and then we'd have a more restrictive code like our like our parking matrix. Our parking matrix is probably a higher density than what's required there. We've had engineers stand in front of this, in front of the board, and tell us how much more our parking is than the Utah standards, and that's just something we've had. So our standard's a little bit more than, more restrictive, adding more spaces per use than what the Utah code required.
I'll give you just a couple more minutes to look through that, and then we'll go ahead and read the resolution in.
Well, if these are page numbers, there's 847
well,
pages.
You're, when you start addressing different code books and things, the international code book's about 1,500, so they change that every 3 or 4 years. So if you're a contractor, you got lots of good reading
and memorizing.
Does Heber City have this adopted?
I don't know if Heber City has this. I know that the other towns that they, that Jones and DeMille is doing, and the civic, I can't remember what the name of the civic something of towns adopts this also. If you're using Civics Plus, that's the standard they use.
That's the Bible.
That's the Bible, yeah.
Okay, we okay to move forward? Okay, so this is resolution number 2025.3.3A. The short title of this is the adoption of the APWA standards. Resolution is adopt the current standard of the American Public Works Association, as we've discussed. So, I think I got a call for a vote on that, don't I? Call for a vote. Or, yeah, call for a motion, first of all. Make a motion. Sometimes I get a little confused on resolutions. I didn't know if I had to make a motion or not. So,
I would make a motion that we adopt the resolution 2025.3.3A. APW standards.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, I'm going to pass that piece of paper to you, and if you'll just sign on this upper line there and the way you voted, I appreciate it. Go to agenda. Well, before I go to agenda item number 7, Megan, you and Melanie, you're welcome to stay here, but do you have something that you want
to?
Okay. So just so you know, we have continued. It's not on the agenda tonight, but we've continued your application. It's been with the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission started to discuss that last month, and we're still in the process of trying to look at a few things, and so that's your current update on that. I'll just tell you that right now. I wasn't in the Planning Commission meeting, so I don't know. I can't give you a little report or whatever, but that's where we're at right now. So we're still working on a few things. So I thought I owed you that update. So, okay. Let's go to agenda item number 7, which is resolution number 2025.3.3B, which is the adoption of the 2025 engineering fees from Jones and DeMille. And I've only got one copy of this, and
they,
so
they all have it.
Oh, so you guys each have a copy of that?
Yeah, I was going to throw up on mine.
Go ahead and look at that for a minute. If you have
the,
any
the
questions,
proper word is regurgitate.
My question is, how does it relate to similar firms? Are the rates the same, higher, lower? Do we have any idea?
So what we did is when we hired Jones and DeMille, we adopted the rate they have. And so every so often, an engineering firm will update those. And so that's their update of their fees. And so that's typically what happens is the fees will go up, and then at some point you'll decide that that's too much, and you'll put out for bid engineering firm, and then they go through the whole bid process, and then you'll have other prices.
So we entered the contract with them when?
Right after, what's
it's only been 3 or 4 months,
it's
right?
December.
It's probably been 6 months.
Six months?
It's been about 6 months when Adura contacted us and said we're no longer working with small towns. So that would have been, I'm thinking it was roughly in August. August or September is when we signed this, if I remember right.
Was it an annual contract? With rates that would apply for that whole year?
Yes. So you adopt, when you hired them, you adopted the rates. So when he sent that, that's what I sent him back an email. It says, you can't just start charging us these rates. We have to vote on that. So that's why they're here before you.
So how much higher are they? I don't have the old rates.
It's like $5 on a few of them, and just it's minimal. There's nothing big jumping out at you.
I'll answer your question to the best way I can. So I deal with a couple other engineering firms in my private practice. And these fees right here are right in line with the other. I use three different firms, and they're right in line with the three firms that I use. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's about the going rate right now for engineering. I use a company out of Spanish Fork. I use a company out of Alpine, Utah. And I have a guy right here in town that I utilize his practice also. And these are pretty much in line with the three firms that I use in my professional
business. And that makes sense. My only thing is, if we have a annual contract at one fee structure, we shouldn't have to accept higher fees until the end of that contract. Or is there something written in there that they can raise their fees in the middle of the contract?
I think there's an annual thing in there that they review annually.
Which it might not have been with our when we signed with them, but annually for them is when they redo all of their fees with their firm.
And you'll see the date on that.
Yeah, you'll.
I
January 1st,
so.
2025.
Yeah, it was in January. They sent it to us. We just haven't adopted it because it was just taking time to get it through the system. So that's why it's before you. I'm sure that's going to happen on an annual basis.
So the annual thing is going to start.
Who gets to choose who they send on a project? So if they want to send the principal, the owner, on the project and charge us $300 an hour, they can do that.
They could.
But they don't. Just.
I know. But maybe instead of them sending the project engineer 4, we could take a project engineer 1 and save Buku's money, but I guess it's just whoever's available at the time.
It's not. I actually choose who I'm using, and I pick low. I've had these conversations with Matt, and it's like, you know, this is a small town. It makes a difference. So they do have good staff, and it was like when we were using TO, and Amelia was doing a lot of the work because she was a lot cheaper than Ryan was, and so it's basically the same thing we're doing there.
So we consult with Matt over the phone, and then what's the guy's name that we normally get?
Ryan Seeley.
Ryan Seeley is who we've been.
The guy that came? Is he the guy that services this area?
No, Matt and Ryan are both here.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we've had Matt in the office a couple of times.
And then Ryan is who we...
What is his title? I'm just curious.
He's right up there.
We...
Of course he is.
Yeah.
So if something's not going right with Ryan Seeley, then we'll bring Matt in to straighten that out so that we're headed down the same path and not doing double work.
Yeah, so we're down the line. We're down the line a little bit is what we're saying with who we're utilizing. And so anyway, that.
And I think you asked the question, does this clock start ticking the time they leave the office in Ridgeville? And I think it does.
And so these guys are actually out of Provo.
They're officing in Provo.
Yeah, yep. They're right down by the Bureau of Reclamation there.
Okay.
Yep. So they do have an office there, and that's the office that they're serving us.
And we do save money when they're up here doing other stuff. They'll swing in when they're working for the county. So.
Yep.
We do offload a little bit, but.
Okay. Any other questions?
So this rate schedule. Annually, it will be January 1st, or will it start from the time we adopt this fee?
Yeah, it'll be in the calendar year, though.
January.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't see it going down, but.
Sure.
So, any other questions? I'll call for a motion then.
I make a motion that we adopt the salary schedule as presented to us tonight for Jones and DeMille Engineering Company, Incorporated.
State the resolution number when you did finish.
Yeah, I'm finished. Okay.
Yeah, when you get done. Sorry for interrupting.
Based on annually from January 1st, 2025 to January 1st, 2026. Based on the resolution 2025.3.3B, adoption of the engineering fees.
Do I have a second? Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, no.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, I'll read in resolution 2025-3.3.B. The short title of this is adopting the engineering services hourly rates. The resolution is adopt Jones and DeMille engineering fees as of January 1st, 2025. I'll pass this paper down again. Just sign it and mark the way you voted, please. Okay, let's go to council reports. Gary Walton, we'll start with you tonight.
Don't have anything.
Okay. I don't really have anything at this present moment either. Eric?
So, I okayed being appointed to the MAG Disaster Mitigation Group. I haven't heard anything back from them since that. That was a month ago. Have you heard anything?
No, they were trying to get that committee together, okay. And then they were going to meet. So
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I'm sure there wasn't as responsive as we was. We got right on that. So.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Robin?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to agenda item number 9, planner report and updates. Eric, take care of us.
All right. So I apologize, I don't have my planner report in your packets tonight. There was a little misunderstanding tonight. But I have great news. So this will be awesome. You guys are going to love this. You remember we had the representative from MAG come and speak to us, LAA, and so we put in with Charleston, Hennepin, and us, and for a MAG grant to help with and redo our general plan. And so that has come back, and the MAG contribution is $135,000 for the grant we got. So the total consultant budget is $150,000. So divided out between those three municipalities, our part of that is $5,000. Charleston is 5,000 and Hennifer is 5,000. But we'll have 150,000 working with the MAG, with a person from MAG to help us get our general plan up to the newest standards.
Cool.
Awesome, isn't that?
Yes.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. We just got that just this week, so we wanted to bring you up to speed on that. But that I thought that was so awesome that we actually got that done. And so that LAA representative will be here working with the planning department as we work through that to get the final draft to you guys.
Okay.
Everything else is going. You see that there's work going on the highway, Highway 40 property, and under construction. The permit's been pulled, and they're moving some gas lines and getting ready to pour cement over there.
Any other questions about anything that's going on in the town of Daniel as far as planning that you see as you drive around?
Any news with CMC? Are they?
So the news with
feeling better?
The news with Todd. I talked to Todd a week or so ago. He's still recovering. He wants to be put on the April agenda, which I told him that we would put him on the April agenda, and he will be here to address any questions about CMC Rock and the batch plant. Yep.
Is the county still taking care of putting signs back up?
They do. We still contract with the county to put up signs that have been knocked down and fixed, the ones that are broke. So we just need to get a hold of Amanda down there to the county public works department or Kevin Davis, and they'll take care of it.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that are about ready to go down.
Yeah, we just had one fixed on 600 East about a month ago. Somebody stole the stop sign on 600 East, and we had them put a new stop sign in there. And I mean, with winter and with plowing and stuff, I've seen a few of them that are starting to lean over. So
right.
We'll make a phone call to them. And if you want to get a hold of them, Gary, you can. You know those guys directly, or you can tell me what needs fixed, and I'll get a hold of them. So
yeah, that's probably how it should go.
Okay, I'm more than happy to.
And you know, but as those bills come in, you
read right.
Those.
Okay.
And then just along those same lines is the county. We got some calls because some mailboxes got knocked over, and the town's position is they put mailboxes in the right way. We don't fix those, so that's on the homeowner if that mailbox gets hit. Just in case somebody's asked you, that's been our policy. So.
But it gets reported to the sheriff's office.
Gets reported.
I said it doesn't get reported to the sheriff's office.
I don't know.
It's just,
well, if the snow plow's plowing snow and knocks the mailbox over, I don't know that.
People just going,
yeah, I don't know that we need to report that as.
I heard it. That's how you know you're accepted in the town, when they crash your.
When you crash me, mom.
That's funny. Any other questions on the planning report? Okay.
I don't know how to put this tactfully, but I know we're contracted with the county to plow, but I personally know of 2 days that they plowed and there was nothing on the road. So I don't know if we got I assume we got billed for them. I don't know.
Yep.
Can you remember how much that is? A go around? What is it? Is it
11? I do. So
miles or something.
So what our contract is right now underneath with Wasatch County, we're paying piece rate to a driver in the truck, which is $168 an hour. And then we're paying $41 an hour for salt, a ton, not an hour, 41, 41 a ton.
Yeah.
Sorry. And that's what our current contract is right now with Wasatch County. And we have a copy of that in the office. And I just, I'm in contact with Kevin Davis a lot, who's over the snow plowing. I see him pretty much well weekly. I've addressed a couple of those concerns. The salt seems to be quite heavy this year too in certain areas, but we're honestly, I think they do a great job. I mean, there's a definite distinction between Heber City and Daniel, you know, when it snows.
Well, I see it because that's a transition point right in front of my house.
I know. And usually you can drive on Daniel's roads and you can't drive on Heber City's roads. So, but I appreciate all they do. And honestly, I still think that that's a good deal for the town right now. Beats trying to maintain our own equipment and try to store it somewhere and wrench on it and everything else. So, we appreciate the county for what they do. Okay, let's go to agenda item number 10, which is business licenses. And tonight we have a renewal for Tender Touch Massage. That's Kendra Giles. Her place of business is up on Duke Lane. Basically, she has a little massage place there that, we've had no complaints on her business. This comes with a recommendation from the Planning Commission. They reviewed that last month and send it to the council with a positive recommendation. So
we approve for a Tender Touch Massage business license renewal.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Wong, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Okay, let's talk about number 11, Storm Haven and Daniel Water System updates. Eric?
So the CCNRs are posted on our website. Those are complete. We went down to Rural Water Conference last week. Got CCNRs all done, posted. The testing continues to be more rigorous and gets closer and closer and more expensive. There's a lot going on right now with the lead and copper. You see a lot in the news about the lead and copper and the different things. The latest is the PASFS, and Park City has that. It's off the wax on the skis. It's getting in the water. If we'll be testing for that this year, if it's in the water, we have to treat that to get it out. So there'll be some cost moving forward to get that out. So that thing is just coming online this year. But the lead and copper's in full swing. We got our initial line inventory in, and now we're starting to work through identifying the unidentified lines. And then we have to have those identified by 27, and then we'll be working at 20%. Right now, the EPA says there will be 20% that we have to replace. And they still haven't figured out who's paying for it. They're still saying it's purveyor's responsibility.
So if we find that chemical in our water, does that mean it's pretty much in all of the groundwater here?
No, there's a lot of that chemical in the fire retardant that they drop. So it does make it into the chemical. So far, that has not happened up the canyon, so we think we're pretty good that way. But we don't know because we haven't tested for it. It's expensive to test for it.
It could also be in the water coming from the sewer treatment plant into the irrigation system.
Yeah.
So that's why I say the testing is more rigorous and more expensive this year. And I don't see that going away. I think it's going to continue to cost man hours and time, and it just testing. It's just going to continue to cost the town more money.
So is that test an annual test right now?
The lead and copper has moved to a 6-month test.
But the other stuff you're talking about.
We don't have those information, but they just said it's coming this year. So the EPA's putting that together, I think. I think with what's going on with the federal right now, it's taken them a while to get everything out. So
we're required to do lead and copper tests every 6 months?
Fair. Yep, they're moving that closer.
Drastic change.
And it's always been 0.15, and that's going to drop to 0.09. So they're going to tighten that restriction of what can be in there. So it's going to be tough. I still recommend we hire somebody to run the water company. I think it's turning into a full-time job.
Any other questions? Eric, just, I know you guys read the meters on Saturday. How's our meters? Are we getting the majority of them read?
We did. We had 32 that wasn't reading.
Okay.
And we did talk to meter maintenance, and he says he's ready when we get the new ones coming. So it's been really slow getting those meter cans out. We can buy the new meter, but just the can replacement has been slow to get. So.
Yeah. And we have some on order already. We're just waiting for them.
Yep.
So as soon as they get here, he'll come in and swap them out for us. And he does a really good job, and he's cheap.
Continual thing. I
mean, yeah, that's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, we're at the end of our warranties, and so we're just moving forward with that.
Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 12, which is recorder's office. Warrants approval, announcements, etc. I'm going to ask that we make a motion to continue that. I'll give you an explanation on that when we go into this closed session. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, I'll make the motion that we continue the warrants and announcements.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay, I'm going to do the same thing on agenda item number 13, approval of meeting minutes for December, January, and February. I'll call for a motion.
I make a motion that we continue the minutes for December, January, and February.
I'll second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay. That's where we're at. So we're gonna. I don't very often go into a closed session, so remind me how I do that.
Need a motion to go.
Need a motion.
Okay.
Have a regular session.
Okay. Call for a motion.
Make a motion that we close the regular Daniel Town meeting and open a closed session.
Call for a second.
I second it.
Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay. Thank you guys very much. Eric, I'll ask you to stay here.
Sure.
Sherry, I'll ask you to stay also.
You'll need Mary.
And we need Mary.
Mary's doing minutes for us tonight.
You want me to stay?
Yep.
I believe so.
All in favor?
See ya.
Pam, thank you.
Bye, Pam.
So, I'm going to...